Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, we are live this weekend. One of the first nice weekends we've had here this year. And it actually feels like summer's coming. I'm actually outside right now because I have absolutely no signal inside my house. And hopefully this will work for me. I have the chat room open. Nobody's out there. But as soon as somebody shows up, if they would let me know if my mic is working, I'm back to that again. As long as I cannot check my mic to see if it's working with that Zingaya Core testing service that they have. For some reason, it isn't working, so I have no clue if my mic is working. I've got it set up exactly the same way as I did last week and the week before and the week before that and the week before that. But so far, I don't know if it's working or not. I got my fingers crossed here. From Newsmax and from today, or April 7th, written by Eric Mack. He's got a headline that says, Stephen Moore, unemployment lowest since the Beatles. Now, for those of us who have been around for a while, we remember when the Beatles came out in 63, 64. That's a long damn time ago, folks. And the article talks about trumpeting a strong U.S. economy amid some economic struggles around the rest of the world. President Donald Trump's nominee for the Federal Reserve Board, Stephen Moore, hailed the lowest unemployment rate since the Beatles. This was a monster jobs number, Moore told the Katz Roundtable on 970 AM New York about Friday's most recent job report. When everybody thought the economy was slowing down, we get this beautiful number. And we've got the lowest unemployment net rate now since the Beatles were still playing together. Well, that's back in 76. Still, that is a long time. Trump decries his critics at every turn, Moore told host John Castamatidis or whatever, I don't say. I don't see any recession on the horizon anywhere as far as I can see. If the economy 18 months from now is as strong as it is now, I think Trump will be in very, very strong shape for his reelection. The looming trade deal with China might be more good than great, Moore said, but the Federal Reserve he hopes to join consider an interest rate decrease because the strong U.S. economy under tougher economic conditions worldwide. What Larry Kudlow has said is that he and Donald Trump believe that there should be a 50 basis point decline in the interest rates, Moore said. I'm not going to comment. And just because of my situation under nomination, I will say this, that I've written publicly before this all came about, that I think the Fed is a little too tight right now. When you get in a situation where you get a pro-growth policy, where you have all this global demand for dollars, at the same time the Fed is raising interest rates and pulling dollars out of the economy, that might cause a slight deflation, and I'm a little worried about that. I do think there is a case to be made possibly for a rate decrease, and that is what Stephen Moore said. Like I said, I've got the chat room open right now. We are live. And we are in the process of getting this show going. We're going to have a two-hour show today, so hopefully there will be people here, and hopefully my microphone's getting out. And welcome to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show on this, the 7th day of April, wow, in the year of our Lord, 2019.
Roger that. News sources. That there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest slash riot. I think it was like November 4th or 3rd.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for man.
Hour one of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the Doctor of this Republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Folks, we are back. Call in number 646-478-5284 if you wish to join us. Our chat room, like I said, is open. Moving forwards out there. Good to have you there. I'm going back and forth to see if people are in there and if anything's being said. This article that I had found on DC Dirty Laundry, which it was the headline that caught my attention. And the headline was "The Blessed Lice of Islam," and that's lice, L-I-C-E. So, yeah, it says little bugs. Yep. And I started reading that, and I thought, oh, this is kind of interesting. What is so blessed about the lice of Islam? But says this is an article that was written in 2013. Sometimes I look back on my old readings and cringe. And this was written by Dean Garrison of DC Dirty Laundry. He says, "I was in rare form and tried to make fun of this story back then. The real focus of the story should not be the juvenile humor, but rather to serve as another glaring example of why Islam is incompatible with Western culture. Sometimes I stumble upon a story that I cannot pass up. This is one of those times. It would be morally wrong to have a couple of slices of bacon with your eggs, but by all means, you cannot disturb or try to eradicate the blessed lice living in Muslim beards, for they are special lice that were sent forth by Allah." Yeah, no, I am not making any of this up. The list on this, this is from Abdul Bait News Agency, or ABNA, and they report, "Last week a new fatwa, or religious advisory opinion, appeared in Aleppo prohibiting shaving lice-infested beards or attempting to kill the believer lice growing in the blessed beards under a medieval sort of punishment. The following is the closest to literal translation that to our best that we could do, and would welcome better suggestions for the translation." It goes on to say, Sharia authority in Aleppo, by the name of God, most merciful, most gracious. Circulation number 12. "Thanks to God and prayers and meetings of our Master Muhammad and his family and companions, then the Sharia authority in Aleppo has prohibited the killing of lice that appears in the Muslim beard as some of the Muslim brothers who have released, grown their beards in accordance with the Prophet Muhammad. Blessed lice has appeared in their beards, and that's because of their lack of bathing due to water non-availability all the time on the jihad or holy war fronts, and they have limited to ablution before their prayers, may God accept it. Thus their beards become moist and thick, which made of it, in God's will, a natural place for lice to live in. This, my friends, is something that I don't really care what you all think about this whole thing. Here in Western civilization, we try to get rid of lice because they carry diseases, they bite, they cause problems with babies, and if we have them in our beds, then we have to get rid of them. But here we have an article that was talking about how lice are blessed and they're put there by Allah. Oh, come on, folks. We need to start looking at what the Muslims, what the Islamists are saying, and then we need to start getting real about what their danger to this Western civilization of the United States is. And mark words, folks, it is a danger. We have Muslims up in Dearborn, Michigan right now who are following their laws, not ours, their laws. And this is in Michigan, folks. This is the United States, not Iran, not Iraq, not any of those countries that they came from. That's here in the United States, and they want us to conform to their way of thinking, which essentially would make this country just like theirs. Well, if they want this country like theirs, why don't they just go back to their country where they don't have to work at it? Because I can guarantee you the people here in America like the republic that we have. Now, granted, we have a lot of people who are now saying that socialism is the way to go. And the main reason for this is because they have not been taught why we are not a socialist nation. And in moving forward, he said that we are about to go to war on our southern border. And he, question mark. I've been watching that one too, and we have a lot of things going on down there, and I've got to close my windows because there's a train coming and it's noisy. But I don't know. That is a really good question. It's a very good question, and we have to really think about this. We have to really start watching what is going on, because this nation is under attack, and it's under attack by several things. One of them is our southern border and illegals coming here. They don't want to follow our laws. They don't want to be here. You see, and that's where we're running into our problems here, folks. We are running into our problems because we're allowing these people in, but not making them follow our laws. Now, they're here in America, but they're following the laws of their countries. How much sense does that make? We have people here from other countries who are following their laws, not ours. And they are telling us that we are wrong for trying to assimilate them into our culture. Who is the wrong ones here? It is not us. And moving forward, in the chat room said, is it time to step up? Yeah, it is. Very much so. Very much so, time to step up. We have to start realizing what is going on in this country. We have to start realizing it before we lose this country. About 5 years ago, I did a show about how America was right at the same tipping point at that point in time that that Germany was in 1939. And we all know what happened with Nazi Germany. We all know, even though we have people now who are trying to tell us that none of this happened, we all know that millions and millions and millions of Jews were exterminated in Germany because of an ideology. Now, we have pretty much the same kind of ideology moving in here. And in 1954, when I was 2 years old, folks, and I'm 66 now, when I was 2 years old, the government was being told that we are under a jihad. And the jihad is in three parts. The first one is to start moving into the country. Gain the trust of the people. Move in small numbers. Gain the trust of the people. That's been done. That one's done. Number two, move in more people. Continue trying to gain trust of the people, but start putting people into places of power. I have a list that I did on last week's show. Of all the people that are following Sharia law, because every Muslim would, if they are a true Muslim, who are part of our government. The list was long, folks. There's about five in federal government right now. Keith Ellison. Andre Carson of Indiana. That new woman Talab in Congress. And several others. We are allowing them into our government where they can make laws, folks. And then on top of that, we're allowing all these young whippersnappers who are coming in here, like Ocasio-Cortez, who is a socialist, who has absolutely no qualms about going off the rails when she is confronted with her ideals. And nobody on the right or on the left is saying anything about this. Nothing's wrong with her. We're just afraid that she, they're saying that we on the right are afraid that she may be right. No, we're afraid she's going to destroy this country is what it is. And this whole idea of Biden, the same thing is going on with him, and I've never liked Biden, so don't get me wrong on this one. But I don't see anything wrong with what he is doing, and they're all calling him Creepy Joe. He grew up in a different generation, folks. I grew up in a different generation. It was okay to come up to somebody and touch them on the shoulder or kiss them on the cheek or something and say hello. It's the same thing as with this slavery thing. We have to pay reparations. Oh, my God, America was so horrible because we had slavery. But the facts that are not brought out is that slavery was prevalent all over the world when we had slavery. Everybody had slavery. The blacks were selling themselves into slavery all over the world. It was America that pulled us out of that one. If we hadn't done it, slavery could quite possibly be still running rampant all over the world now. But America is the one that stopped that. And when we had slavery, it was prevalent all over the world. But do you hear anybody else saying stuff like that? If we're supposed to pay reparations, why not every other country in the world? Why not? Because they're not America. They are not the great Satan. They are not the ones who have capitalism, which is so wrong that all these snowflakes just go absolutely crazy and bonkers over it. And the other thing that they keep coming up with that just drives me insane is they keep talking about how Nazi-like, how Hitler-like Trump is. Why do they feel this way about him? He has brought our country back from a brink that was heading for when Obama was in office. He got rid of Obamacare, most of it. Should have been all of it, but hey, he got rid of the mandate. That was a good thing. Unemployment is now at the lowest point since, like, that article that I'd read, since the Beatles. That's a long time, folks. And why do the Democrats call him a Nazi? Because all these good things that he's doing for America was not done by them. They cannot take credit for it. And they couldn't even take credit for it if they tried, because they have been so against everything he has done that if anybody tries to say, oh, well, that was a policy of ours, everybody would know they were lying about it, because they've been so against those policies that have helped this country. Another thing more moving forward said, the nation of Israel left Egypt, did not try to dominate it in comparison. Yeah. That's very true. Instead of trying to dominate Israel or dominate Israel left. But what is going on here? What's going on in Syria? What's going on in Iran and Iraq? Even in Egypt with the Muslims. They are pushing to have total domination over everything. If you're a Christian, you're likely to lose your life over there. But if you're a Muslim over here, you're welcomed. Even though the fact that you're a Muslim over here, you don't like America. It's just another stomping ground for you to come in, use your jihad in, and conquer. And most people aren't even looking at this aspect of it, folks. Most people are not even looking at this aspect of it. We have to start looking, because if we don't, we're going to lose this nation, and we're going to lose it very quickly. I've got a phone call here. I just went back into my studio. I had it in the chat room. Let me see who's here. Hello? You on the air?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I was actually only listening. I didn't actually push one, but if you want to have somebody talk, I sure got some perspectives to reinforce what you're saying from a different angle.
Hey, that would be awesome.
Yeah, well, I think that we're being conned in many different ways. And here's another perspective that I don't hear very often being discussed. I got to catch my breath. I was kind of unexpectedly, like I said, I didn't push one, so I wasn't expecting to have to talk. I was just listening. But anyway, the Democrats might be doing their bad, but we have a whole bunch of non-Trumper elitist Republicans who are playing wingman for the Democrats also, because they are one world exclusive corporate governing nutbags, and they are using the system as it is right now, manipulating Trump in order to get what they want, to push us towards the, you know, that breaking threshold point that forces all to be under that one world governing power. And the Muslims or Islamic group that you were referring to just a while ago are going to use that to their benefit. Because right now, since the founding of our country, Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, but ever since then, every legal United States citizen has been defrauded from their Article 4, Section 2 rights for equal immunities and privileges, and we've been violating Article 1, Sections 9 and 10 of the Constitution, no title of nobility, therefore setting up these class structures. And one of the class structures that has been a detriment to our society is this special privilege of corporations, businesses, where they've use that as a divide-and-conquer strategy in addition to the two-party system, Democrat-Republican divide-and-conquer strategy. So therefore, you and I and the legal Americans who are not a part of the elite group, we don't get our pursuit of happiness, because the psychological trick of persuasive coercion is that once somebody gets elected into office, by our election system, they get to become dictator and determine your burdens and encumbrances, therefore depriving you of not only your Article 4, Section 2, you know, equal privileges and immunities, but also your right of your First Amendment of equal, you know, your right to exercise your own religion. Because think about it, your value system, your values, your ethics, your morals, your principles are determined by your religious, your faith, okay? So therefore, if you no longer have the right to decide the burdens and encumbrances of the rules, laws, processes, and procedures of self-governing, they've just stolen by fraudulent conveyance your intellectual property of self-governing and brought it to themselves. So now that you are no longer treated as an equal citizen, self-governing, you are their slave, because now they get to encumber you and burden you with rules, laws, processes, and procedures. They've nullified you as a citizen because the election system gave them the right to be, you know, dictator-in-chief. This is an interpretation, I'm telling you, that people have been scammed on. The truth is once the person gets elected into office, you are still an equal citizen, and you still equally self-govern your intellectual property of self-governing. Otherwise, you've been nullified as a citizen, and they've exercised extrinsic fraud, denying you of your due process rights of good faith bargaining, mutuality of agreement, you know, freedom of contract, freedom of association, freedom of conscience. So therefore, they've thrown the rule of law completely out the window and the Constitution since our founding, or since the Constitution was set up. And so,
yep,
therefore,
I totally
we've all
agree.
Been scammed. So
yes,
this angle that – I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
When I get on a roll, I hear you talking. I'm not – I got to stop.
I was just agreeing with you.
No, I didn't know if you wanted me to stop and you were trying to get in, or just you were giving me a vote of confidence.
Yeah, a vote of confidence, actually.
Yeah, well, the other aspect of this that I want to, I hope you don't mind me taking the liberty. If you just are tired of hearing me talk, shut me up, you know. But I think there's a part of this conversation that is never being discussed, because every legal United States citizen under the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence is an equal citizen in self-governing. You don't get equal peanuts, you don't get equal money, you don't get equal cars, you don't get equal job opportunities. But here's the thing. You do get equality in determining your burdens and encumbrances that govern you, because we were predicated on self-governing free people. We were not going to let King George and his oligarchy of foot soldiers dictate our burdens and encumbrances anymore. But that has never been established, and I think that's why you always hear people say, well, you know, Benjamin Franklin came out of Independence Hall after, you know, they said that we had this republic, if you can keep it. I think the part of that is, if you can keep it, was, hey, are you going to have the mindset to understand you're equally significant, equally valuable, equally important, and equally worthy to self-determine your own self-governing? That self-governing of you is your intellectual property. When they deny you the right to exercise your ownership rights in deciding what those authorized, constituted rules, laws, processes, and procedures of self-governing are, then they have psychologically manipulated extrinsic fraud on you. Therefore, they've yep. denied you the rule of law. It's the rule of man self, you know, masquerading under the color of law. It's not the rule of law, it's the rule of man. But to break it down to even something more practical, when you talk about these border security and all these immigrants and stuff, we got 80 million or 90 million United States legal American citizens on the public dole. You and me as a taxpayer pay that public dole. And they continue to have $22 trillion in debt, pushing up the doggone expenses, you know, the debt of our country to our children and our grandchildren. That is fraud against the future generations and fraud against you and me, because you and me as taxpayers, we have the right to tell these people that work for us in our government. We the people are the government. Every legal United States citizen is the government. It's we the people. We all mutually agree to decide to hold ourselves in true obedience to the rules, laws, processes, and procedures of self-governing. Otherwise, it's a dictatorship, because if somebody can force you, then we no longer have freedom and liberty and justice and independence for all. But these people that get into office, they build all these rules, laws, processes, and procedures to give themselves high-speed fast lane to their pursuit of happiness. But you and me, we only get to call our congressman, and if we are representative, you know, whether it be Congress or senator. And what do you get? You get a staffer or you get an aide. You 99% of the time never ever get to talk to the actual representative, and therefore they never actually put rules, laws, processes, and the procedures that include your will. So therefore your right to your pursuit of happiness is being denied, limited, infringed, and truncated, so to speak, whereas they and their little clique of circle of influence, you know, the corporations that get subsidies through the tax laws and stuff, so they get a buy. It's kind of a backhanded backdoor deal to make sure that they get benefit and money. But you don't get your will mutually and reciprocally included into all the rules, laws, process, and procedures of self-governing. So therefore, the potential for you to realize your pursuit of happiness is limited, infringed, and abridged and denied. You get maybe speed bumps and roadblocks and hurdles, many different hurdles you got to jump through in order to see your fruit, you know, in pursuit of happiness. But they build in high-speed fast lanes to theirs, so therefore the corporations continue to get richer. The corporations continue to help fund their campaign dollars for them to get reelected. They give themselves great raises and, you know, benefits for wages every year, plus their golden parachute retirement plans and their golden parachute health care programs, and they eliminate you and themselves from being accountable to the same laws and rules and stuff that you and I get held accountable to. But they got their right of due process, because they were a part of that, deciding what the rules, laws, processes, and procedures were. You and I were not. You and I got, they committed extrinsic fraud against you and I, denying that, us that same due process. In Article 4, Section 2, each citizen of the state shall have the same privileges and immunities as the citizens of the several states. So therefore, if they have the right to have due process in determining the rules, laws, processes, and procedures of self-governing, then you and I also get to do the same thing. Otherwise, it's extrinsic fraud, and you are being denied that right of a due process in determining those rules, laws, processes, and procedures is them using nullification to nullify you as a citizen and render you a legislative slave. Therefore, your representation is that you get represented like a pimp represents a prostitute. So therefore,
yep,
we do not have the rule of law, and these people that are working at, it's actually the rule of man, deceitfully masquerading under the color of law. And you got all these congressmen and senators up in arms about the border security and all this stuff. Okay, we got, like I said just a moment ago, we're 80 to 90 million people on the public dole. You and I pay the taxes. So we have a right of legal standing to say no more taxes get paid, period, for any illegal or any legal immigrant coming into our country till all of the legal Americans who are on the public dole are off the public dole and they're no longer a burden to our debt. And these congressmen and senators have proven they're not worthy of managing one penny of our dollar, much less put us into $23 trillion in debt. And they're denying you and I our right to have our will reflected in our rules, laws, processes, and procedures, committing extrinsic fraud, and they're showing privilege to foreigners coming into our country before they do legal Americans, because you and I as taxpayers have standing to say no more tax money going to anything till our fellow American legal United citizens are off the public dole. But also, that doesn't include the legal Americans who are living out in the streets that don't get a handout from our government. They aren't in there, you know, getting unemployment or welfare or SNAP or TANF or WIC benefits and stuff. They're living out of their car. They're living under the bridges. They're living in the homeless shelters. They don't get representation at all. They have a first right of refusal as a legal United States citizen and standing, because they are a principal party, an indispensable party, a real party, and a proper party to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution as a natural, legally, you know, United States citizen. And they're being deprived. So the congressmen and stuff are committing fraud every which way you can think of. And then what do? They allow the corporations to use all these kickbacks with the subsidies and whatnot to go buy new technology, and then the government gets more of your money and my tax dollars to create more spy and technology with NSA, CIA, whatever these different acronyms are, CIA, FBI, NSA, and whatnot. Why is that? Because the elitists want to monitor every little detail of your life, so that way the corporations also can get money from the government, because they need these technocracy contracts in order to help pay the bill in their corporations. But also they share that data with all the other corporations and executive directors of these executive directors sit on the boards of these corporations and these multinational corporations, transnational corporations. They're the elitist, and they're the puppet masters, and they get access to all this data. Now, if you don't sway the way they want you to sway in allowing them to be the corporate dictators of the world, you don't get a job. But for some reason, they can get all of these foreigners coming from these other countries and give open borders to let them come into our country so they can manipulate them, because most of them won't argue their position from a constitutional basis. And so they get to keep you and other legal Americans who would argue their constitutional basis from even getting a job anymore, because you cannot force the companies to interview you for a job. You can't force them to hire you for a job. But they have access, unfettered access to all your data and all your everything you do on your phone. They use the CFPB, you know, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, to get all your data to. And then they can they comb through all that stuff whenever you apply for a job. And if you don't live up to allowing them to be the corporate dictators of the world, you don't get a job, and they actually allow you to just die in the streets. And now we got 80 to 90 million of our fellow Americans dying in the streets, and these people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer supposedly are getting kickbacks from the cartel, and they don't want the wall to be built because therefore they'll lose their kickbacks, because the cartel does not want a wall so they can continue their trafficking of sex slaves and gun running and dope and all that kind of drug stuff to keep all of us Americans in a daze and confused, because we, you know, get so hurt and disparaged from life that we turn to drugs because we want to escape the crappy reality that we have to live. So now you don't have the right mind to argue with them about it, and they can have more control over you and manipulate you more as their legislative slave. So it's a con game all the way around, so the elitist puppet masters can control you. And the data mining and all that collection is just extra resources. And then the border wall issue is nothing but another little scam in order to allow them to use foreigners that are going to be useful idiots, just like the many of the useful idiots in America who don't care about understanding these details, are allowed to be manipulated by the data. And you can't force any of these groups to interview you or hire you for a job, so you better learn how to be an entrepreneur yourself and make your own money, and then know how to fight for your rights as an equal citizen in under the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. So it's a long-winded conversation. The details matter, and I don't hear people talking about it from this standpoint that I just shared with you, and I wish there was more people doing it, but unfortunately we're all, myself included, learning as we go. Thank you for the time. I appreciate what you're doing to keep America in the way of this, solidifying the American way. Thanks for your time.
I really appreciate all of that. A lot of those things I have mentioned, I've talked about how, you know, we've got, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats almost to a woman, whatever, they're all just totally in lockstep with each other. They don't want the wall. They don't want anything that'll keep people safe. But the problem with that is that a lot of Republicans are exactly the same way. And that's we've got people who we keep electing. And it's mainly because of the fact that they have, it, through the government schools and everything else, has dumbed down the people to where most people don't know the things that was just mentioned.
Yeah,
most people
I've
don't know it.
I've caught your show a few times. I don't recall remembering your name as a host, so please forgive me for not referring to you as whatever your name is.
Robert.
Okay, Robert, I appreciate what you just said. Unfortunately, the sad case of it is, with all of the data mining that's been going on for the last 50, 60 years, now we mostly only understand it from since the mid-90s when the Internet made it more prevalent. But this stuff has been going on since the 1920s and 30s. I mean, remember JF? Do what? You're cutting
absolutely
out. Absolutely. Yeah, JF. I hear you're cutting in and out. I can't make out what you said, and I don't want to stomp on your tongue, so I'm trying to stop to let you have your place. You're the host, and you run the show, not me.
Oh, well, all I was saying was absolutely. I've got a horrible signal in this area where my house is, and the funny part about it is I'm within 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet of a cell tower, but where my house sits, it's a dead zone for some reason, and I don't get a good signal out here, so I usually have to come out to my car or something. So, but I was just saying,
well,
absolutely.
We'll have to to pray hard that the Lord heal that situation for you so you can have a strong signal so you can help get the word out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, one of the other things that I wanted to jump on in this sense is that the sad part about these elections and all this data mining is a lot of these campaigns, they go out and do all this data mining, and then they just lie to you. So you and I keep electing all these people into office that con artists. They're basically wolves in sheep clothing. They all they want to do is get elected and be puppets for the puppet masters, and they like the benefits of being in Congress and making, you know, $174,000 a year with these great health care benefits and these golden parachute retirement programs. So they sell their soul to the devil in order to be able to do it. So therefore, you and I, as long as we do not take back our power to individually decide our own self-governing burdens, encumbrances, and, you know, rules, laws, processes, and procedures of self-governing, they're going to continue to tell us what we want to hear, because they just got to go out on the internet and go to people like NexusLexis and Axiom and ClickBank and all these big-wig data mining groups, find out what the most people want to hear, and then they just lie to our face, you know, what they know the majority of people want to hear, and then they get elected into office, and then they turn their back on us and do what they want to do. And it's just like, you know, all of these campaigns, it don't matter, even President Trump, even though I ended up voting for Trump because I couldn't stand Hillary Rotten Clinton, she was worse than him. That don't make him even qualified to be our president, but he's the best horse in the race right now, so therefore I'm backing him and I'm on his train. But that doesn't mean that he is infallible, or basically my opinion is that he's rounded himself with so many of the corporate elitist world, you know, the corporate governing, exclusive governing group, that all he's doing is what they want him to do, and then they're using the media, because all the board of directors on these multinational corporations are share owners in the media, and they, you know, the six different companies, the corporations that own the media have the same board of directors people, and they're just making sure that the media is telling you and I to argue about Democrats and Republicans and argue about the Green Deal and this and that, because in the sense that you and I are distracted arguing about all that, they're passing laws. They got over 900 laws passed this year, and Donald Trump only vetoed one. And then none of them have been cutting expenses in our government, and none of them has returned the power back to we the people. It's still the corporate entities ruling over the rest of us. And when you think about, you know, George Soros and these people that have all this big money, Tom Steyer and whatnot, or even the Koch brothers, they're spending money to build these little riots where these people go out and say, oh, we need $15 an hour. Well, that sounds great to the worker bees and the people that are employees. They want $15 an hour, and they're probably deserving of it. But here's the scam that you people are not talking about. The multinational corporations love that, because the small business and the startup entrepreneur cannot compete with them at a higher wage level, because the cost of running your business goes up. So therefore, they're stoking that fire. Go out there and fight for $15 or $20 an hour, because they know it's going to put the small business person out of business, and the entrepreneur that would want to start a business to compete with those big multinational corporations will have a higher burden of cost to get the operation started. So therefore, they'll probably have to go to one of their banker friends, because remember, all these institutional bankers have board of directors, and they're the same group of people on those board of directors too. Now the small business guy has to borrow money from them, but then the small businessman gets strings attached to his loans and stuff that the big multinational corporations won't get. You see, it's just another manipulation, because they know if they can get those small business owners to be able to compete because people are hauling for $15-$20 an hour, then the market will push the small business guys out of the market, and the entrepreneur won't be able to start up the business. Therefore, the multinational and transnational corporations just eat up all the market share more and more. That's why we have more and more companies or corporations that own, you know, there's fewer and fewer corporations that own the more businesses we have. It's like we have four railroad companies that actually own all of the railroads in the whole nation. It might have been 15 or 20 or thereabout or more at one point, but now it's been consolidated because these people continue to figure out how to manipulate our congressmen to get the rules, laws, process, and procedures what they want in office, while they deny you and I and limit our right to our pursuit of happiness. So they get their pursuit of happiness and manipulate the laws to fit their benefits. And then they get to continue to consolidate the market share to them. And now there's four railroad companies that own all the railroads across the whole nation. And that's kind of like what started at first, with just four starting up. And then when you look at the media companies, even though we all think there's hundreds of thousands of different media outlets and whatnot, basically six corporations own them all. It's getting consolidated more and more. Anyway, I appreciate you, and I thank you so much for the time and listening. And you guys just keep up the hard work and try to help me, and I'll try to help you, and we'll all make this America, you know, speak for all of us as legal United States citizens, instead of us all being represented like pimps, like prostitutes being represented by pimps. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, you're welcome, and thank you for that. That was actually pretty good. I've talked over the years. I've had this show for about 12 years now. I started in 2007, with a few exceptions when I did kind of drop off the air for a couple of months. But for the most part, I've been doing this show 12 years, and I've been watching what has been going on in our government. And people think that they are in charge. They really should be, and according to the Constitution, they are. But we fell asleep at the wheel, and we had people who took over, did things, and we didn't say anything about it. So they thought, well, okay, we can do anything we want. And they started getting more and more and more bold all the time. Well, now we've gotten to the point where they are so bold, they don't care if we come and say, no, you cannot do that. They don't this for so long that they figure that they can do anything they damn well please, that anything that they want. And for the most part, it's like I said, it's the Democrats. They're all in there together. But it's also a lot of the Republicans. One of the last bills that came that didn't make it actually lost because some Republicans sided with the Democrats on this whole thing. I can't remember right now what it was. It was a couple weeks ago. But the media was all talking about how this is great. Trump just got his comeuppance. The things that he went after was not passed, and some of the Republicans even voted against him. Well, yeah, because the Republicans are not united. Democrats are.
Well, also, in my humble opinion, all this is my humble opinion. I mean, definitely take everything I say with a grain of salt, and challenge yourself to, prove your point. Or I'm talking to the people who might be listening, not necessarily just only to you, Rob. I'm talking to myself at the same time, because I can fool myself a lot easier than I can fool other people. And if I live in self-deception, then I'm really in a world of hurt. But I think we all have to realize, too, that our educational system has led us all down too, for the last 60 years or so. I mean, even my own education, I realized that I ended up, after I got out of high school and then went to college over, you know, umpteen number of decades, because I had to stretch my college out because I couldn't always just stay in when I wanted to. But I've been on an ever-learning process ever since, and you were so right. The people that keep getting elected into Congress since 1787, whenever our Constitution was ratified, every administration, little by little, more and more, they just get more calloused and get more bold and just to do what they want regardless of what the people's wishes were. And to the point that you're about, you know, we're referring to today, that they just do it and they don't care. But, you know, part of that, in my humble opinion, is that our parents and grandparents, that when we were growing up, they did not keep the schools held accountable to make sure that we, the kids, were being taught civics and government when we were in school. So therefore, if some of us were lucky, I got maybe one or two classes between high school and college. So there was a little seed built there, but it was after I got out of high school and started going to college. And then I started learning outside of college because I wasn't a political science major or a government or, you know, that. The closest thing I got to government when I was in college was business law classes, put it that way. And so, therefore, that started perking my interest. And then, you know, I was kind of one of those half-hearted voters and was not very well informed. And then when 9/11/2001 happened, can wait up. What is it that my own government, these people that are supposed to be representing me, what are they doing in these foreign countries to make these foreigners come over to my country and now try to blow me up? I got to start thinking about what the people are doing in my name, and now these people are coming to look to hunt me down and kill me because my government's doing stuff in my name. Then I started focusing more. So since 2001, I'm no longer a less informed voter, but the truth of the matter is they've finagled the system to the point that you and I and majority of Americans are so busy working one job or one full-time job and a part-time job that our kids are, you know, our family members and stuff are going to and fro so much they don't have the means nor the time to focus on the things of government. So therefore, a lot of these people that go into government get manipulated because the money is such a attractive thing because they know these corporations, and it goes to the staffers and the aides too. So don't forget, it's not just the congressmen and the senators that are being bought off. A lot of the reason why you and I call our congressmen and senators and we only get staffers and whatnot is because the puppet masters are keeping our congressmen busy going to all these meetings, and then they're telling the staffers and the aides, you want an extra $10,000 this year or $20,000 this year? We'll field all these calls and you know, here's what we want and blah, 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 and put these in particular calls in the file 13 wastebasket because, you know, this is right. And then they coercively persuade them that the multinational corporation or the puppet master is right, and so these aides and staffers buy into that nonsense. So they think, hey, you know, I'm making an extra $10,000 or $20,000 a year now, and hey, they make sense because they don't question it because they're so busy working in the offices just trying to process all the files and the paperwork and the calls and information doing their job that they don't really stop and think about, well, is this constitutional? What's the constitutional basis? Am I running roughshod railroad over my fellow American? Am I upholding the Constitution for my fellow American? They just don't think about it.
No, they really don't. And I'm coming up on a hard break here on the top of the hour, so I've got to take a break here, but this has been an awesome phone call. I've really been happy to have you here, but I've got to take a break for a few minutes. I'll be right back.
Okay. Nope.
We will be right back after these important messages.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You ace vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesman to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart savings strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
No one can really imagine what lifestyle our military families live while they serve to protect us, both foreign and domestically. These families say goodbye to their loved ones for months and even years at a time. They miss births, birthdays, Christmases, anniversaries, first steps, first words, and they are sometimes not even recognized upon their return. They move every 2 to 4 years, their children have to go to a new school, make new friends, and just to keep up with all the changes and losses while their parent is gone is hard work. A lot of people don't realize the financial burden of relocating a family time and time again. Not only that, but insurance rates change every time, coming up with first, last, and deposit for an apartment if there isn't housing available to you. Traveling home for emergencies that the military doesn't cover. The list goes on and on. People think the government covers all costs for us, and it's unfortunately not true. Because of all the troubles they have, families are at times in need of help and greatly need our patriotic citizens to give them a helping hand by sending in donations. SAMFAM, Inc. is a nonprofit 501c3 foundation that is dedicated to helping America's active military. We understand that separation is difficult, and being a single parent while your significant other is protecting our homeland is a burden that few can relate to. Our mission is to provide support, protection, and help boost morale and peace of mind for the active duty military. We also want to assist retired veterans. The families we help are chosen through essays. Now here is where we ask for help. Right now we can only accept checks made out to SAMFAM, Inc. That is SAM-FAM, Inc. 18 Eastern Avenue, Sacow, Maine, 04072. And that's SACO. Make sure to put my name or one of the other members' names on there so this can be credited with the right person. Your donations are tax deductible. Thanks in advance, and God bless.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garden. This is Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert, who are not afraid of the wrath of the left when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda for us. From the crossroads of America comes the second hour of the show.
Back. Call in number is 4647-85284. I had that caller from the first hour. That was absolutely one of the most informative calls I have had in a long time. And it's awesome. He's back again. He had disappeared for a little bit. I'll have to get with him again if he wants to talk again. But we doing this show, like I had said during that first hour, we've been doing this show since 2007 now. We've gone through several networks. One of them is the traditional American Patriot Network, which was where my first hour's intro was recorded from. Something I have to get re-recorded. The second one is also from Kathy Hinners. And a lot of the things I get when it comes to Islam and what is going on in America because of them comes from her. She is a retired police officer. She now runs the site Daily Roll Call, which is has a wealth of information on care and Muslims and Islam down there. But, you know, because their schools are having problems because of care. They are one of the states that has one of these Muslims who are in charge in our government. As like I had said one time before, we have been warned. The jihad for Muslims and Islam comes in three parts. Two of those parts have already happened completely. They already are done. The third part is bringing people in under such numbers that they can take over. Well, what is going on here in America right now? They are coming in such numbers that there are parts of this nation that are completely under their rule. Not ours, not the American government, but Sharia. And one of the things that I've constantly talked about and constantly harped on is the fact that our Constitution and Sharia law are not compatible. We're either going to have one or the other. We cannot have both because they are not compatible. Sharia wants to get rid of us and our constitutional republic. And the Constitution wants, and the people who are in our government want to bring these people in. We need to wake up. We are under an invasion by not only the illegals in the South on the southern border. And like I said before, I've lived down there. I know what that is all about down there. There is a crisis. There was a crisis in 68 when I lived down there. And now we're getting caravans of people who are being brought up here through Mexico. Well, the last one was stopped, actually, by Mexico. Because Donald Trump finally spoke up and said, we're either going to help us stop these people and stop allowing them to come through your country, or I'm closing the border. Mexico actually stopped the last one. Process of this, we have the biggest one that has ever happened forming down there now. Our border agents are so inundated with people coming in that there's nothing they can do but release them. That's what our government wants. They want them released into our country because that way the Democrats can figure out a way to get them to be able to vote. And if they can get them to be able to vote, they know they've got a voting block there that they can count on. And if we allow this, folks, we're going to lose our republic. Plain and simple, it cannot continue. We just cannot continue this, because if we do, America the free is going to be America the Islamic and unfree. Does that scare any of you? I know it does me. It scares the hell out of me. I love this country. I love to be able to just say, okay, well, today I've got my day off. I want to get in my car and drive around. My car is one of these ones that the government doesn't want us to have anymore because it uses too much gas. It's got a V8 in it. It's a sports car. It burns gasoline, not electricity. And yet, my freedoms give me the ability to own this car and drive it wherever I want as long as I can afford the gasoline, which, by the way, the government is now pushing overdrive, push as gas prices higher and higher. I have every confidence that it's the government doing this. And people don't stop to realize, when I went to high school, when I was in high school in 1968, the price of oil was $49 a barrel. We were paying 49 cents a gallon for gas. This last summer, when the gas prices came down to $1.49 a gallon, we're at 37 down to, I think, at one point, $27 a barrel. It should have been way, way down. It should have been down around 20 cents, 30 cents a gallon. But was it? No. It wasn't, because the government has their fingers in the pie. They also know that we, the people, do not have that long of a memory for the most part. We don't remember gas prices being at 49 cents a gallon. Price of oil was $49 a barrel. Now I think the price of oil is somewhere right around $75 to $100 a barrel. And we're paying more for gas right now than we were when the price of oil was closing in on $250 a barrel. Who's getting all this money? Price of gas should be nowhere near as high. The government gets something like 97 cents a gallon for, and what do they do to produce gas? They don't do anything. They make you think they do, but they don't. It's just a taxable item that they can tax the hell out of. They do not want us driving cars. There are more small cars on the road now than I have ever seen, because people cannot afford a V8 anymore. Although there are an awful lot of big cars, too, because of the price of gas last summer was lower than it had been in a long time. People started buying cars. But here we are in the midst of this last week. The price of oil, like I said, is somewhere around $75 to $100. I don't think it's anywhere near $100 yet. But the price of gas here in Indiana over the last couple of months went from $2.13 a gallon to it's now $2.75. Price of oil hasn't gone up. It's maybe spiked twice here and there, but it's always come back down. And what do you think happens when they raise the price of gas? What happens? They'll raise the price of gas up, and what does it do within a few days? It starts coming back down. And do you know the reason why it's coming back down? Because the market has set it unnaturally high. The price of gas is higher than it should be. If government would just stay the hell out of it, leave things alone, let gas come down to the price that it should be to support the market, it would come down to a certain point and stay there. It would not go any lower. And you cannot tell me that these stations and these gasoline companies and oil companies are not making a profit when gas is at $1.49 a gallon, when they're only paying like 30 cents, $30 or $40 a barrel. You can't tell me they're not making a profit. They are. They're just not making the profit that they got used to when price of oil was $350 a barrel and we were paying $3 a gallon. Yeah, we were paying $3 a gallon for gas that was being bought at $300 a barrel, but now we've got oil at, oh, maybe I'd say probably about $85 a barrel right now, and we're paying almost $3 a gallon. People need to wake up. This country is being torn apart by the politicians. This country is being torn apart by the people in our government. And we have to stop this, because if we don't, things are going to get much, much, much worse.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Okay, I already played that one. Sorry,
Dad,
about that.
This is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. But I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure.
Tomorrow?
Let's check with Mom. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak. Just make sure you have everything.
Yep. Can we walk home?
How about a taxi? 233 North Maple, please.
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking, plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood.
Best day ever.
A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of a dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Okay, we are back. Call in number 646-478-5284. One of the things that I'm running into a problem today with is the fact that I had to do my show out in my car because the room that I've been doing my show in is actually my daughter's bedroom, and she hasn't been home hardly at all. Well, this weekend she decided to come back to the house and spend the weekend here. Well, when she spends the weekend, she spends her time in her bedroom, which made it so that I didn't have any place to do my show except for my car. Well, The problem with that is I cannot plug my computer in when I'm in the car. So when my computer runs out of battery, my show essentially runs out. And it's sitting at 13% right now. And I've turned down the light on it so that it's very dim. So hopefully it'll last for a little bit longer. But that if I have to end the show early tonight, that's the reason why. This one is also from Daily Roll Call, Kathy Hinners, who does my intros, wrote this one. It's called The Myth of Islamophobia, The Truth About Those Who Invented It. And she did this March 25th of 2019. Muslims across America are demanding Islamophobia be stopped by creating a false rise in what they call anti-Muslim rhetoric. Islamophobia is a word manufactured by the Muslim Brotherhood in an effort to invent a false sense of victimhood. And that's all it is, folks. It's just a false sense of victimhood where they decided they're victims. No, they're not. They're trying to make us the victims is what it is. But Islamophobia is defined by Muslims as those who hold an irrational fear of Islam and is seen as a mental deficiency. The word itself means fear of Islam, but the word has morphed into meaning a hatred of Muslims, racism, or bigotry. It encompasses negative words that cause discomfort and embarrassment, thereby causing people to think twice about speaking negatively about Islam and Muslims. Being labeled a hater or a racist, which Islam is not a race, can get fined, fired, lose family and friends, or lose business, all fears of the American people. Now, here's the other thing. I do an update daily, kind of like Rush does his morning updates, except mine's just a little bit longer, and I've done them on Facebook Live. Now, 2 weeks ago, two of them. One was a pro-American rant against the Democrats, and a lot of the Republicans who will not have a backbone to stand up for America, okay? The other one was an anti-Islamic rant. Neither one of them had anything but facts in them. And Facebook banned me for a week. Today is my first day off, and tomorrow, oh my gosh, yeah, I am planning one that should throw me right back into jail. So, you know, This whole idea that we all suffer from Islamophobia is complete. Kathy says the word itself means fear of Islam. We don't fear Islam. We fear what Islam will do to America. But it's not a fear of Islam. It's not a fear of Muslims. We just fear what they are trying to do to this nation. And because we get caught up in this rhetoric of Islamophobia, we fear that we will be labeled as a hater or a racist. Islamic organizations like the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE, have created a sense of urgency in the hopes the government will step in by criminalizing what they consider hate speech. And you notice it's not what Americans consider hate speech. It's what they, Islamists, consider hate speech. And see, they're trying to push their ideals onto us. But when we try to push our ideals onto them, oh no, that can't be done. But yes, it can, because they are in our country, not theirs. If we were over there, and we tried to force our ideals onto them, we would get probably killed, beheaded, any number of things. Because we would be trying to push ideals that are important to us on them. Why not call them, instead of having them always calling us saying that we're Islamophobic. How about them Christianophobic? And with them, it's really actually more on the lines of that. They fear Christianity. They fear Christians. It's one of the reasons why they want to get rid of us. It's one of the reasons why we hear people getting beheaded who are Christians. Hell, it's happened in Oklahoma. Dearborn, Michigan. That city is more or less Sharia law. We have 29, at least 29 Islamic training camps here in the United States that American law enforcement is not allowed onto here on American soil. You think that's right? They do. Doesn't matter what we think. It's only our country. They're here to take it over. And what better way to take it over than to not allow our law enforcement into their areas? And mark my words, folks, their areas are going to be becoming bigger and bigger and bigger all the time until they take over so much of our nation that we've lost it. And yes, we will lose it if we don't wake up and smell the coffee or the bacon, whichever is more apropos. But aside from the fear of being labeled an Islamophobe, people are shying away from anything that may be construed as Islamophobic and instead flooding to hear Muslims preach about Islam, its peaceful and loving nature, its tolerance of all things sinful, and how compatible Sharia law is to the Constitution. All very untrue. However, the most important point is not about Islamophobia, but rather how it is being used by Muslims. Their effort to end Islamophobia have instead created a national security risk. Law enforcement and our military have become so delicate to Muslim communities for fear of losing federal funding or their pensions, they are cooperating with Muslim communities, conducting business in a way that doesn't offend the Muslims because of the demands by Muslims to further their agenda and our political correctness. Some of the outcomes of these implications are the purging of relevant factual training that includes who terrorist organizations and their supporters are within the United States, the termination of surveillance in mosques, the end of profiling, the passing of standard march procedures such as carries to detect explosives, the barring of our military being able to identify the enemy and annihilate them, the altering of rules of engagement replaced with recall and retreat. See the problem all of these things? And there's a whole list of these things that I didn't even get all the way into. Muslims label these Islamophobic. They realize they found our weak points. We don't like being called phobic anything. It would be better if we were, because if we were phobic about them, we'd at least realize that they are here to take over this country, and that is the only reason why. They want to turn America the Great into America the Dump, clamoring to get into this country. Say that they're trying to get asylum so they can come into this country and have the freedoms that we have, all the while going into little communities and sticking with their ideals, with the things that they left behind, and forcing them on this nation. Now, if they want to keep their ideals, Islamic or illegals, why don't they just stay where they're at? they won't stay where they're at because this country is doing great. This country is actually got a higher standard of living than most of the world. But we keep allowing these people in like this, folks, and it is not going to continue. Shows like this one will disappear because the rules will change and we will not be allowed anymore. The truth will cease to be out there because the truth will be outlawed. What will we do then? If we go after a revolution then, we're likely to lose, most of us. Because we will be going against the machine that's already in place. And the people have got to realize this, because if they don't, this nation is in coming into a black part of this, our history, that will foreshadow anything that we've ever had to deal with. We've got Muslims in our nation's capital right now, in Congress, who are demanding that all the people who are doing good for America be impeached, taken out, arrested. Then we have all these little snowflakes running around saying, oh my gosh, socialism is the way to go. Bernie Sanders, all the way. And where will that leave us? Folks, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to end this show early. I got in an hour and a half, which is actually a little bit more than I thought I was going to. My computer is down to 6%. And I'm going to have to come to the end of the show a half an hour earlier, actually 25 minutes early. But I am glad that everybody was here. I had several people that were in the chat room, my caller who is still there. I am really glad that I actually let him in. He said that he didn't push one to talk. He was just in here to listen. One of the things that I'm not really sure about, I don't know if they ask you this when you first call in. It doesn't tell me you're going to be wanting to talk or not. There's nothing in my studio that tells me if you want to talk or not. And so when I get a phone call, I usually just answer it when I see it. So that's the reason why I did. And I'm actually kind of glad I did, because he sure gave some great points, and I'm glad he was here to listen today. Like I said, I'm sorry I have to leave early, because my computer is now down to 4%. We are about to lose everything here, so I'm going to have to cut short. And let's see if I can get my... thing going here. There it goes. I will be back next week, folks. But if you think you need a little more, come on, hold tight. I got it all right tonight. Look out, hold on, don't stop. Just talk.
Look out! Don't stop and watch the wheels go round. Look out!